Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
All right, your daily companion, Radio Pulpit it is. We trust the Father is doing you well, gracing you so much in a mighty way. The best of friends we are, man. And of course, we are talking about hypocrisy. And thank you so much to Julia Mamaria Sefako. And we were touching that very, very same aspects there. Hypocrisy and her perspective, quite interesting that there's much focus on the less weightier matters as compared to the real matters of doctrine, and says this is also a form of hypocrisy. Let's go to the pastor in Dobsonville, and do you know this woman is responsible? You see these sauna geysers on top of the RDP houses in those years. This is the woman. But she's also a servant of the Most High, and she loves the Lord so much. I've known her for quite some time now. Her name is Prophet Klengwe Mtimba, and she also touches on the issue. Good evening.
I greet you, saints, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I just would like to welcome the Holy Spirit as we get into today's topic. Today we are going to be talking about hypocrisy of today, you know, about Christians who are wearing a mask of holiness. And hopefully through this session and segment, we are going to be able to unmask ourselves. Amen. Beloved, you know, one of the greatest dangers facing the church today is not the sin that is visible in the world, but it is the sin that is hidden under the mask of religion. Jesus never called the drunkards, tax collectors, or even the prostitute whitewashed tombs. He reserved those words for the Pharisees, the men who, you know, wore the mask of holiness while hiding corruption in Kizwenzabo. Today, many people wear that same mask. They dress the part, they speak the part, they sing the part, but inside in Kizwenzabo is another story. When we look at the book of Matthew, chapter 23, verse 27 to 28, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, you are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean." Saints, the mask of holiness is the ability to look holy but live an unholy life. It is the performance of righteousness without the presence of righteousness. It is dangerous because it convinces others, but worse, it deceives the person who is acting. You know, it's like a fruit that shines beautifully in the market, but when you get home and you cut the fruit open, it is rotten inside. You know, when we talk about people who are hypocrites in the kingdom of God, we talk about people, you know, who have lip service without the heart service. God in Isaiah 29 says, you know, these people, they honor me with their lips, but with their hearts they are far from me. You know, today if we look at, you know, the kingdom of God, we look at, you know, gospel music, we look at preachers, we look at prophets, we look at, you know, the fivefold ministry, you know, many people today, they sing worship with their mouths, but they refuse with their hearts. You know, they preach faith on Sunday, but walk in fear and compromise on Monday. You know, they like to give the impression of prayer, but their prayer closet is empty. You know, this mask that we wear, it fools people, but I want to assure you that it will not fool God, and it has a cost. You know, when you are a hypocrite in the kingdom of God, when you are a hypocrite in the house of God or in your walk with God, there's a cost, you know, to being that hypocrite, because it blinds you. You know, you live in self-deception. It destroys other people. You know, when the world sees us as the children of God, you know, living double lives, you know, it mocks the faith. It offends God, Bazalwane. You know, God hates hypocrisy more than open sin, because at least those who are sinning openly or knowing that they are sinning, they're able to see themselves and they're able to go back to God and repent for their sin. So, you know, if when we are, you know, hypocrites in the house of God, we insult the holiness of God. A cracked foundation covered with expensive paint may look stable, but it is destined to collapse. Amen. So as the children of God, we have a responsibility, we have a duty and have been given the authority by God to unmask, you know, this false holiness. You know, the way forward, Bazalwane, is not to act holier, but to live holy lives. You know, God wants the truth on the inside. We need to be authentic before God, you know, because the Bible tells us in Psalm 51 that God desires, you know, the inward parts, that he desires the truth in the inward parts. You know, we need to repent, you know, in the presence of God. We need to drop this mic, which means that we must acknowledge our weakness. We must acknowledge our sin before God, and we must walk in integrity. You know, we must let our private lives and our public lives be the same. We are only performing for the audience of one. We need to seek to please God and not to seek and not to please people. Even though in our generation, you know, if you look at social media, if you look at, you know, the way we work, you look at our homes, it looks like every day we are living to impress. We are living to show people that we are doing better. We are living to show people that we are doing well. But God is calling us, Bazalwane, to a different stage of performance. He's calling us to a stage where we are only performing for the audience of one, where we are only performing for God. Because, you know, Bazalwane, faith without works is useless before God. Our works need to show as truthful before God, as righteous before God. You know, maybe holiness is far from many of us, but we can seek the righteousness. Amen, Bazalwane. You know, and in conclusion, I want to say, Bazalwane, you know, the world that we live in today, it does not need more masks. It needs more truth. You know, holiness is not the costume that we wear and take off anytime we feel like taking it off. It is the life that we live. Our lives, Bazalwane, must be holy as he is. We must be like David, you know, and be able to go to God and say, search me, O God, and see if there is any evil in me. And if there's any evil in me, deal with it. Yeah. If there's any sin in me, deal with it. You know, create in me a clean heart and purify me. So Jesus Christ today, Bazalwane, is calling his church to unmask. He's calling his church to repent. He's calling his church to walk in the sincerity of heart. Amen, Bazalwane. And we are going to pray, Bazalwane. We're going to pray and lift ourselves in prayer. Even myself, I'm including myself in this prayer, because we fall easily into the sin of wanting to look like something that we are not. You know, we look at how other preachers are doing, how other parents are doing, how other children are doing, and we get tempted, you know, to perform, to be something that we are not. But as children of God, we need to live an authentic life before God. We need to live, because we cannot enter the presence of God if we are not truly authentic and true to, with ourselves and true with God, the God that we serve, and even the witnesses that are around us. So we're going to pray, children of God, myself included in this prayer, and we are going to say, we repent in the presence of God for every mask that we have worn. And we pray that God must strip away every disguise of holiness that hides sin and pride. Impilwenzetu, you know, create in us, O God, a clean heart and renew the right spirit within us. May we not just appear holy, but be holy inside and out. Let our light shine in truth and not in pretense. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. May the Father do you good also. Thank you so much. That is Prophet Tlengwe Mtimba. And of course, we appreciate this. Send us your WhatsApps, 082-657-2729, 082-657-2729. Let's hear what you say on this matter. 082-657-2729. Let's hear what you say. Right? And you can give us a shout. Talk to us directly there, 012-334-1322. Talk to us directly there. And of course, thank you so much to Babongane. All right, I seem to be losing him a bit there. Let me start him from scratch, because my computers have gone dark on me now again, just like yesterday. But I will call Vus, don't worry. Let's do a bit of this. Babongane.
Evening, Pastor Ray, your guest, and the Radio Pulpit family, I greet you in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Today's topic, hypocrisy. Jesus answer to the scribes and Pharisees who were judging his disciples. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 to 8 says, "Hypocrites, well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me'? Outwardly, they honored God. They sang songs, prayed and tithed, but they had no love for God. Their hearts, their inner persons, were impure. They acted religious to be noticed by men, not to please God. They were hypocrites, actors or pretenders. To be pure in heart means our words match our thoughts. Our outer life matches our inner life. When God saves us, He gives us new hearts." Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 to 27 says, "I will give you a new heart and put my spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." 27. "I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." In closing, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." I thank you. God bless you. In the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Babongani. I really appreciate. And let's go now to Dr. Baratwa Muema. Dr. Baratwa, greetings to you. Thank you so much for making time.
Greetings, beloved listeners, in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today we are speaking about a matter that Jesus himself strongly condemned during his ministry: hypocrisy. In simple terms, hypocrisy is pretending to be something you are not, especially in matters of faith. In Matthew 23, Jesus repeatedly said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." He was not addressing sinners in the street. He was speaking to religious leaders, people who appeared righteous on the outside but were corrupt on the inside. This message is not just for Bible times. Mm-hmm. Hypocrisy is alive and well in our generation. And today, we are going to expose it through scripture and see how God calls us to live in truth and sincerity. The word hypocrite comes from a Greek term used for actors in play, that is, people wearing masks. Spiritually, it means putting on a mask of holiness while hiding sin in the heart. The book of Matthew chapter number 15, verse 8 says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Mm. Hypocrisy, brethren, is dangerous because it deceives others, but even more, it deceives the person living in it. It creates a false image of godliness while the heart remains unchanged. Let us look at the signs of hypocrisy in today's world. The first one is of outward religion, inward corruption. Many people look holy on Sunday but live in sin Monday to Saturday. The book of Matthew chapter number 23, verse 27 says, "You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead. The second sign is saying without doing, meaning one is quick to speak about faith but slow to obey God's word. The book of James chapter number 1 verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Mm. Do what it says.
Mm.
Sign number 3 is seeking praise of people instead of God, meaning performing religious acts for attention and not devotion. Matthew 6 verse 1 says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. The last sign is of condemning others while excusing ourselves, meaning judging others harshly, yet ignoring our own sins. The book of Matthew chapter number 7 verse 5 says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eyes.
Mm.
Brethren, can you see that hypocrisy is not just about religious leaders long ago? It's about us today. It is about our churches, our communities, and sometimes even our own hearts.
Mm.
Let us look at why God hates hypocrisy. God desires truth in the inward parts, not empty performance. Psalm 51 verse 6 says, surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Hypocrisy misrepresents God to the world. When Christians live double lives, the unbelieving world mocks the faith, saying, see, they are not different from us. And most dangerously, hypocrisy blinds people to their own need for repentance. The Pharisees thought they were right with God because of their outward performance, but Jesus told them they were far from the kingdom. What is the cure for hypocrisy? How do we overcome the hypocrisy of today?
Mm.
One can overcome it by examining themselves. And this is according to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5 that says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Secondly, one can live transparently before God, where one is able to pray like David in Psalm 139 verses 23 through 24 that says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Number three, one can practice what they preach, meaning you must let your actions match your words. Number four, one must seek God's approval and not men's.
Mm.
That is according to Colossians 3 verse 23 that says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. My beloved brethren, God is calling us to authentic Christianity, where our words and our lives are in harmony. As I close, I ask you today, are you wearing a mask in your spiritual life? Do people see one thing, but God sees another? The book of Luke 12 verse 1 says, be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. I would like us to do this short prayer and say, Lord Jesus, deliver us from the spirit of hypocrisy.
Mm.
Teach us to walk in truth, sincerity, and humility before you. Remove the mask from our lives and help us to live in a way that brings glory to your name. Make us authentic witnesses in this generation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. My beloved brethren, live truthfully, live transparently, and live for God's glory. Until next time, God bless you all.
Thank you so much, Dr. Baratwa. I really appreciate it.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082 657 2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
Ulwazi oluthe vetshe, impilo engcono, nothando oluthe gabalala. Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Umhlobo wakho wemihla ngemihla.
Ruti Mraka, let me bring this to you. The very notion, you've heard our guests, and of course we still have one more. Robert Mahapa is also going to be talking to us. But let me bring you in. When we speak of this very aspect, we also see legalism as a form of hypocrisy also. In John 7:23, if a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? The observations of days, which to a great extent there has been some development of ritualisms amongst us, which had surpassed the actual observation of the word of the Father. What say you there?
Fully agree, my brother, that this is one of the traps of hypocrisy. That we seemingly follow the letter, but not the spirit. And even the brethren, as they were speaking, they went to the heart of the matter, especially there in Matthew chapter 23, where the Messiah speaks so seriously concerning hypocrisy, where he was pointing out that certain things, even as they are spelled out in the Torah, it's okay to do them. However, we need to understand the spirit of the Torah. The heart of the Torah is love, mercy, and faith. Mm-hmm. And those things cannot be governed by law. They are from the spirit, from the heart. That is why the heart has got to be cleansed, and the heart has got to continue in holiness, in love, in the peace that God gives, in the joy that the Messiah gives, in order that what happens outside and what is being driven from inside are corresponding. And this legalism, sort of those ritualistic things, do not only remain in the church. The church is sort of the driving force in the world in terms of setting the pace. If we allow hypocrisy to be prevalent in the church, we will see it reflected in the community, in the ordinary people out there, because we have not fought the battle correctly in the spiritual realm. So when we have lost, the others will actually be shown to have actually lost. What am I saying? There are laws in our country which are speaking to certain things. Every law which is morally correct is actually based on the morality of God's law. However, you find the very same things which the word of God says are corruption are the things which are being practiced by those who have made the laws, who are supposed to uphold the laws. And in Job, I mentioned Job chapter 34. If one goes back and reads Job chapter 34, one will realize that God even speaks to the governance, how things are done in ruling over others. He says, Elihu, who speaks on behalf of God, says in verse 14, if he should set his heart on it, talking about Elohim, he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath. All flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. If you have understanding, hear this, listen to the sound of my words. Should one who hates justice govern, will you condemn him who is most just, that is Jehovah himself? But now listen downwards when we go down, he says, for in verse 31, for has anyone said to God, I have borne, chasten me, I will offend no more. Teach me what I do not see. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. Verse 33, should he repay it according to your term, because you disavow it? In other words, is it possible for people actually to repent of their own without God having dealt with them and spoken to them? And then he says, you must choose, and not I. Therefore, speak what you know. Verse 34, men of understanding, say to me, wise men who listen to me. Job speaks without knowledge. His words are without wisdom. Oh, that Job were tried to the utmost, because his answers are those of wicked men, for he adds rebellion to his sin. He claps his hands among us and multiplies his ways against God. I had said earlier on that in the Old Testament, it shows that hypocrisy is actually impiety, where you are supposed to be belonging to him, and yet inside you are polluted and you do things wrong. And what does he say concerning that? Especially if we look at what is happening in our country, what is being exposed. I will go to Job chapter 8, verse 13, and say this. I start from 11, actually. Can the papyrus grow up without marsh? Can the reed flourish without water? While it is yet green and not cut down, it withers before any other plant. And then verse 13. So are the paths of all who forget God, and the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. In other words, while it still looks like they are flourishing, something is going to happen which is going to cut them short and even show that they have failed. And this is all Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh Elohim is doing. Who judges the hearts of men? Even before they could come to God, he already knows what they are like, and he himself will expose them. For what reason? For the reason that it might be known that he does not brook hypocrisy. In other words, even in governance, God does not brook hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. All of our politicians today are standing hypocritical. And I'm not saying this because I'm saying, yeah, I'm not a politician. I'm just saying because the church has failed. It has gone, the rot has gone even to the politicians, because there is no conscience which is calling them to order, which should have been those who live holiness truly, would have been the conscience of the nation. And it's not happening. And that is why we are seeing what God has said in his word, like things like in chapter 15, verse 34 of Job. For the company of hypocrites will be barren, and fire will consume the tents of bribery. In other words, we can't sit as Christians and say, look at them, what they are doing. Look what is being exposed concerning them. We should hang our heads in shame and do exactly what my brothers and sisters have been saying. We need to repent as the church and even intercede on behalf of the leaders. Because what we read also in Job was that he causes these things, that is the Father, so that there will not a hypocrite reign over the people and ensnare the people. That is why today we don't have a king over the whole of the nation of South Africa. Because otherwise, it would have been worse than it is now. You have a president, you have those that work with the president, that is the cabinet and the parliament and all. What has happened? They have ensnared the whole nation. But it's because the church, the conscience of the nation, has truly failed. We should change our thinking, confess our sin, and cry out for the mercy of God, which boasts against judgment.
I hear you quite well. Thank you so much, Muruti. I really appreciate.
Download our app now and listen to us wherever you go. Available in the App Store and Play Store.
Well, there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer requests by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth, Life Explained.
Now, Pastor Sam, let me bring this to you also. When it comes to the notion of hypocrisy, we see in much of the things, you know, Galatians chapter 2 verse 14 says, but when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as the Jews? We seem to be compelling people to be Christians while we actually are denying it. I mean, we have the form of it, but deny the power at times. Hypocrisy 101. What say you, sir?
Yeah, that's so true. Because you see, people, today we're having an issue whereby people are having difficulties to believe in what we believe because ourselves, we tend to not even believe that. Because it's like we speak one thing, but we do the other. We do not stand on exactly what the word of the Father says. Because when people, you know, today, as you always say, that nobody has the absolute truth. I mean, nobody can claim to know everything. But the little that we know, we need to put them into practice. You know, James will say that your faith without works is dead. But no one will say that I believe in what the Father can do. But when the same person who says he believes in what the Father can do, when he's facing difficulties, we see the same person not believing in the Father. We see the person looking for solutions everywhere. They ask yourself a question. Today we see pastors who stand in front, and I'm sorry to use them, pastors, you know, they stand in front, they tell you, no, what? The Bible is so clear. We are healed by the stripes of Jesus. They'll say that. But when you go to their homes, you find them with a small pharmacy. They've got all the medication that you can imagine. But when they come to church, they'll tell you, no, believe, healing will take place. Then you see, it becomes a bit of a problem. You see, pastors will tell you, no, you need to believe in God. God is a healer and so on and so forth. You see, people believe in God in whatever they're going, but while the pastor, he's got a private doctor. He's got a private doctor whom he consults every day.
then it's a bit of a problem because yeah. when the same spirit that is leading the leader is the same spirit that's going to lead others. We see the example of Moses. God has to take the spirit that was on Moses to give to the rest of the leaders, because the same spirit we might not do it. I mean, purposely, but somehow, somewhere, people will sense that. They will know that whatever you are telling them in front is a lie, because they only see you in and out of hospital, but you are telling them to believe in God to have to see miracle. But they see you've gone for a heart operation, you've gone for knee operation, you've gone for this. Then you come the next day, you come and preach to them about the God who can heal. They say, okay, fine. But that God who can heal, does he wait for us to go first in the hospital for him to heal us there, or he can heal us even outside the hospital? Then it becomes a bit of a confusion whereby we claim something, but we don't live it. You know, when the Bible says in the book of John 14, when Jesus Christ was speaking to the disciples, he was telling them that he had to go. He told them to not be troubled, that he had to go so that he may go and prepare a place for them, and they will come and fetch them. You know, this was a true saying. You know, when one sits and says, okay, what did he really say? We have people like the Thomas, we have to ask questions. I mean, we are telling us we are going somewhere. How do we get there? Say, I'm the way, the truth, and life. And you have another person like Philip had to also question, had to question Jesus. So you're talking about the Father. Who is the Father? Say, hey, if you see me, you see the Father. You know, these are words, these are true saying. When the person is saying what he is exactly, he's not trying to make up a story. Mm. But today, when we have to talk about us who have become the representative of Christ, the Bible says, you shall receive power. And when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, you shall become my witnesses. Mm. Now, what is to be a witness of Christ? Is to represent him. And then you have to go back to what John said. John 14, 12 says what? It says, whatever you believe, for everyone who believes in me shall do the exact things that I'm doing and shall do even greater things than this. But now we need to come back into ourselves, ask ourselves the question. Have we been able to do even the little thing or even 1% of the things that Christ has done? If we've never done that, how can we claim to do greater things than what he did? It means we are standing for him, not representing him truly. We claim to be what he says, but we are not doing what he says. You know, somebody says that, there's a big distance or the long distance between the head and the heart. He says we have a head and a heart in the body, but that distance from the heart to the head is very, with our eyes we see it's very short. Distance. But in essence, whatever is going on in the heart for it to get to our brain, it takes a long way to get there. That means we can believe something, but the head is saying, no, what you're saying to me, I cannot accept that. And this is the problem. Positionally, we are where Christ is. But functionally, we cannot express who Christ is. And then it becomes a problem. When the people look at us and say, what you say is not what you live. That means you are a hypocrite. You are not what the Bible says. And what do we need to do is to believe. You know, today, people are going to search for Christ everywhere in the world. They go to mountains here and mountains there to go and search for him. While he says, I've come to you, I'm in your heart. Me and my Father shall come and dwell inside of you. But if we are in us, why am I going to go and search for you somewhere else? It becomes a problem. Then we're now confusing even the people who want to come. Because the people who want to come, then they say, Do we have to go to these people, to these crazy people, whom we'll be shouting and screaming, we don't even know exactly what they're doing. Because what we claim to be in church on Sunday is not what we are during the week. Mm. In church, we are too holy. We are too, connected to the Father. I don't know. We are too, on Sunday, I think everyone can even perform a miracle, you know, if it is given. On Sunday in church, if somebody is dying there, I believe that everyone can lay hand there and bring that person to life. But if they bring that person to you, the person who is about to die, they bring him on Monday or on Tuesday, I think you go and look for the pastor. then we ask ourselves the question, are we really the representative of Christ, or we are just playing a role of hypocrite? Mm. And this exact, when the father look at us, say, but these people are they really representing me? Because the church today, Moruti Muraka mentioned something, if the church cannot influence the world, then the world will influence the church. That's exactly what we're seeing today. Whatever we see today, the world has a say in whatsoever we do in church. And we ask ourselves a question. Somebody, I'm going to end on that. Somebody asked a question, says, you see the light, you know, we used to see this light in a nightclub, you know, for people who visit nightclub in the past, they can tell. You see the type of light, you know, these different lights, the blue, the whatever, going around in the nightclub. But those lights, we brought them in church now. They're in church. We have also blue light, green light going around.
I've seen,
and it's like, what is happening now? What has changed? Where did we get this? The church used to be a place where you just come, it's plain, clean, open. We worship God and we go. Now we are bringing also blue light, green light, and all. Now, who is copying who? You know, these are things at one point we need to be so real with ourselves. We used to condemn, you people, you are wearing this big chain, and we are wearing this long dress, and all this and all that. But today, are we not seeing this is among ourselves? We wear this long dress, we put this, long hat, the one for a certain church, you know. Then it's becoming confusing that this shows that we are hypocrites. We don't know exactly who we are. That means we are also suffering from identity crisis. And that is the problem, whereby Christ, when you look at us, he does not even see, he does not even recognize us. And the question will be, will he find faith when he comes back?
I hear you. We're taking your calls. Give us a shout. Talk to us directly there. 012-334-1322. That's 012-334-1322. Let's hear what you say. Talk to us directly there. I'm keen to hear from you as to what you make of this, the very aspect and notion of hypocrisy these days. Here's a WhatsApp that comes from the orator. The orator says, hypocrisy is putting emphasis on unnecessary things, ignoring what really matters. And says, it is doing everything to prove a point. Hypocrisy is the lifestyle of very religious people. This is from Buinielo Majila in Botswana. Buinelo Bachila in Botswana. Thank you so much. We really appreciate this. Right, send us a WhatsApp, 0826572729. Let's hear from you as to what you make of this. The very aspect of hypocrisy, what it is even all about, and much of the times what we had come to make of it. This has been something that has been a point of worry for quite some time. You know, I've been sharing this to Johan and saying, this has been worrying me, you know, the very notion that, look, how hypocritic have we become? All right, let me speak just for myself. Things that I ignore, which I should not, you know, how hypocritical have I become? Let's talk to Robert Mahamba. Robert, greetings, man. I see. Sorry, I will stop it at about 5 minutes. But I understand. I can cut it into two if time really allows us. Robert.
A very good evening to you all. First, to our host and friend and brother, Brother Ray, and to all the subscribers and fans and listeners of Radio Pulpit. Today we are talking here, this evening we are talking here about hypocrisy of today. So I've went through the scriptures, the scrolls, the divine oracles, in trying to find out that what can be the hypocrisy of today, especially among us, even the believers, the Christians. And when I look at the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3 from verse 1, here we hear the words of Paul the apostle of Jesus Christ, talking to Timothy, who was a young minister, a young minister of God's word. Here we hear Paul saying to Timothy, he said from verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without the natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." So these were the words of Paul conveying them to this young minister, who was still young and who had a future of gospel before him, and who was to face the world, and who was to answer the questions of the believers among the perilous times which were just before him. So here Paul advised Timothy to say, "Look, Timothy, take my words and be advised. Know that in the last days, these are what will transpire. These are the things which will take place in the later stage." And then he outlined them all, that people will be lovers of themselves. People will be covetous people. People will love things, will covet things. For men shall be blasphemous. Men shall be disobedient to parents. People shall be unthankful and unholy. Those are the things that Paul outlined them to Timothy. He spoke about all these things, and these were the overviews of what will happen. He even said people will be without natural affection. Natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Today's people are just like that. And if these things are done by us Christians, then it means we are using Christianity as a cloak of maliciousness. These are my additions, my emphasis. I'm still saying, if we Christians are practicing these things, are traitors, are unholy, are boasters, are without natural affections, are unholy, we are unthankful, then all these things, if are found or named among us Christians, it then means that we are not true Christians. Then if we are not true Christians, then we are hypocrites. Because Paul said in verse 5, he said, having a form of godliness. Paul was talking to Timothy about people who will call themselves Christians. They will try to adopt the form of godliness and to cover their sinful acts with Christianity. That it means to have a form of godliness. When people look at them, they will say, these people are Christians, but the works, the acts will deny them. So here Paul says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, meaning having the form of godliness, but denying the power of God, which can only help us not to be hypocrites. The more we deny the power of God, it's like we say, God, we don't want you to make us what we want to be. God knows that naturally we are sinners, and he wants to change us from within. He wants to change us. He wants to sanctify us. Before he can justify, God before can justify, he first exercise the process of sanctification. After sanctifying us, he will then justify us.
All right, let us stop it there, Robert, because time really has flown away. At least I've taken something like out of it, something like eight minutes or something. I have taken there. So sorry about that. But we have to come to the conclusion of the matter. And Muruti Miraka, let me give you your 2 minutes and also give Pastor Sam his 2 minutes. Now, hypocrisy is also found in us being selfish. James chapter 12, verses 15 and 16. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily bread, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? That is hypocrisy in essence. Muruti, finally.
Yes, indeed. And finally, my brother, I will start with Job chapter 13, verse 16, which says, you also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite could not come before you. Dr. Barato, I can't remember where, but once said, quoted Matthew there where he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If we are hypocritical, we will not come before God. But he is, Elohim is, for one to escape that issue of hypocrisy, one has to see that he is the one who can say. Paul in Romans chapter 7 paints the picture very well that instead of producing the fruit of the Spirit which he expects to produce, he finds himself doing these things which are of the flesh. And then he says, ultimately in frustration in verse 24, oh, wretched human being that I am, who will deliver me out of this body of death? And then he comes up with the answer in verse 25. The grace of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the Torah of God, but with the flesh, the Torah of sin. The grace of God, that is the ability which we should not deny. And when we yield to the help he helps us with in order for us to produce love, to produce mercy, to produce faith. And when we yield to the grace by faith, indeed, we escape the hypocrisy that is over all that reject the Lord. So, that those are my words, that we need the grace of God daily. We need his mercy daily when we acknowledge where we have fallen short, ask for forgiveness, and by his mercy, he wipes clean.
Muruti Miraka, thank you so much. And Pastor Sam, what do you say finally? Titus chapter 1:16 says, they profess to know Abba Yahuwah, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified in every good work. What say you, sir?
Yeah, thank you very much. What I'll say is, I mean, let's be like newborn babies. You know, let's be like people who we long for good things where we have to get them. You know, babies, they don't really pretend. When the baby is crying because of something, when the baby needs something, really need that something. And the Bible says, let's be like, I mean, new babies, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, let's behave like children. Let's accept to be simple when we come to the Father. Because children, they accept whatever is taught to them.
being good or bad. They accept. They don't have any judgment in whatsoever happened. And us as Christians today, we have grown so much in such a way that we cannot learn from each other. We've reached a place whereby we know everything and nobody can tell us anything. And then by doing so, we are behaving like hypocrites because we say something and we need to justify whatever we say with something that does not really make sense. And then if we can behave like newborn babies, whom, the Bible says, let me just read in the book of 1 Peter 2:1, says, so put aside every trace of malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander and hateful speech. Like newborn babies, you should long for pure milk. You should long for great, for good message that's from God. Nobody is on the top. Nobody knows everything, but we still have to learn. On a daily basis, we need to open up to the teachings that come to us in order to correct us.
I hear you quite well. Thank you so much. Next week, we are going to be touching base on the issue of what is true spiritual innocence? We will be looking into that. And I want to say thank you so much to Dr. Baratwa Muema in the Sefako Makati University of Medicine. And also Prophet Tlengwe Mtimba in Johannesburg. Thank you very much. And Dobsonville, precisely the ministry is there. And then going back into the G20. And I want to thank Julia Mamaria Sifako, who really has become part of this, and of course our friend and brother Robert Mahamba, thank you very much. To Karabo Mraka, the servant of the Most High, our brother, our friend, our family, thank you so much, and pass our regards at home, sir.
Thank you, my brother. I will do the same, and I request you do that for me, and Prof. Kabamba do that for me. And we really thank every listener of Radio Pulpit and contributor.
Thank you so much, sir. Pastor Sam, pass our regards at home. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. I'll do exactly that. Please also do the same. Greet your families, and all the blessings go with your families. And may the Almighty Father be with us.
Thank you so much. Amen. Of course, until we talk again the next time, we trust the Father, do you good, and let us glorify Him at all times. All praises to the Most High, and we thank Him that even tonight, by His Holy Spirit, He's guiding us into all truth. Thank you for the calls and the WhatsApp and for listening, and thank you so much for bearing with us. Tuda! Rabah.
We walk by faith and not by sight. Walk with us. Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Imagine a place where young people can get answers to difficult questions, seek advice on issues that they struggle with, listen to uplifting music, and find relevant and godly content that can help them shape their identity. All this while also having fun in a safe space and environment. Well, the new I Am Youth website is just the place where you can find this and so much more. Go to iamyouth.co.za for an experience that will stay with you for life. I Am Youth. Life explained.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.